Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic.
First off, let us introduce our guest to our podcast today.
Yeah.
This is Mr. Uli, and he is visiting the beautiful state of Colorado from Texas for the weekend. And he recommended this movie that we are about to listen to. And he's a great friend of mine, and he's here hanging out and wanted to join us for the podcast.
Pleasure being here, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
Alrighty, so we're doing pretty good. We were out last night with a friend of ours, and we were going around, looked at like an art show, like a art gallery walk along like this boulevard.
Yeah.
So we saw quite a few art. We looked at, like, listened to some music. Then we went to a bar / dance area thingy, walked around for a bit. And we also like played frisbee and did stuff like that. But yesterday was Friday, so I still had work. And he walked. Uli, what did you do when I was at work?
I went to this place called Kochi Cafe. It was all right. Not too bad. And after that, I just walked around the neighborhood here, passed by an AMC theater that reminded me of a museum. It's like very shocking. Then I encountered some people walking around, some interesting people. They had a lot of dogs here. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, we do actually have a lot of dogs. Oh, one thing I did forget was that the AMC theater that Uli just mentioned, we actually went into and watched a movie. Can you believe that?
Oh, what movie did you see?
Uli, what movie did we see?
We saw The Batman.
Nice. Yeah.
The Batman.
Elena and I were going to go see The Batman this week, and then we realized that the only time the theater had seats open was on her mom's birthday. So we were like, "Nah, well, I guess we'll go some other time."
Does not work. Alrighty, well, Cayman, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a pretty chill week for me. It's about to start ramping up at work. I've got two projects coming up that I pretty much have to work on at the same time. One of them is like a super, super small store, which is like not going to be that hard, but obviously still takes time. But then the other store is going to be probably the hardest project that I've ever worked on.
Oh, how so?
Because usually our projects are just like surface changes. Like it's like, we'll like paint these walls and like maybe hang some TVs from the ceiling and rearrange the offices or something. Like I've like taken out some walls and put in some walls in some places. Mm-hmm. But like all of that is just like interior, and like they're non-structural walls, so it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
But this new upcoming project, they're adding an expansion onto the building. And so now I've got to deal with like making sure that the expansion is still the correct distance from the property line, the roof. Like there has to be a lot of coordination with our structural consultants, because like obviously mm-hmm. when you're putting a new part on the building, there's a lot more, like you have to make sure that everything is safe, because you know it could kill someone if it falls down.
Yeah, right.
But like painting the existing building doesn't really do a whole lot. So,
oh, that's exciting. Does that start up on Monday, I'm guessing?
I don't have to start that project until I think like 2 weeks from now, but there's a lot of prep work that has to like go into it before I like proper start the project. So I'm going to be working on it a little bit before then.
Damn, well, that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to get help from like other architects, right? Like you have like a mentor that is going to be helping you through it?
Yeah,
they're just going to throw you in the cold end or the deep end?
No, I have all resources available to me if I have questions, so.
Okay, I got you.
You wanted to do it, but for Cayman, if it does pick up for him, then he will.
You know you can talk in the mic.
I forget. If you're right here.
I know, but with these sounds, I can't hear you very well. Uli keeps turning around and talking to me, and I'm like, come on, Uli.
Yeah, bro. Like, If you turn around, then I can't hear you.
Right, exactly. Alrighty.
Anyway, Uli, since you suggested it, what movie are we going to be discussing today?
We'll be discussing today the first movie in the Bourne series, Bourne Identity.
Bourne Identity was released in 2002 and directed by Doug Liman.
Wait, this was the first Bourne movie? Oh, it was the first Bourne movie.
Yeah.
You're right.
I want to say, like three I didn't others, look right? this up before, but no, I think there's like six Bourne movies.
Identity, Supremacy, Ultimatum, Jason Bourne, and then the Bourne Legacy. So I think it's five.
Oh, well, I was close.
Yeah. Have you guys watched any of the other ones?
I have not watched any of them. This is my first time watching a Bourne movie.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure at one point I watched a few of them, but
yeah.
At the same time, it's like, meh, I don't remember that well. It was a while back.
Yeah, I feel like early 2000s, everyone was like super, super into spy movies because there was like this and then also... like around then is when the like the Mission Impossible series started up, and I mean same with this, like there's like five or six Mission Impossible movies as well, and I haven't seen a single one of them.
Is that your window?
Yeah, it is.
I was like, is that an animal? Is that a window? What's going on?
No, it's a window.
He was like, spy movies.
Yeah,
very cool. Yeah, I think I know, like, even for me, like yesterday watching the movie, the like the vibe that I got from it was like, I could be a spy. Easy, bro.
Easy, bro.
Easy, dude. I got this.
You just have to know like seven different languages. You have to be able to fight off highly trained assassins and, you know, easy
stuff.
I can
do all that. It's super easy, bro. Dude, for $30 million, if they teach me all that, I'm in.
Well, yeah, if they teach you all that, but you can't do it right now.
I mean, you know. But I will say this. Have you guys ever been like, well, that's like a weird thing for you to notice kind of thing? I notice things that like, I can't like give an exact description on the air, but like sometimes when people... You know, like how friends send you videos sometimes, right? And you can like watch it over and over and over again, right?
Okay.
I keep on watching the video until like I know every single detail. And then I can usually depict where they are. It's really fucking weird.
What do you mean?
Like whether that be street signs, whether that be like the surrounding area behind them.
Like the location in the movie?
No, like location where my friends are. And then I'll tell them, I'm like, yo, are you here? And they're like, what the fuck? Yeah, how do you know? And I'm like, well, the video you sent me. And they're like, what?
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
You're such a weirdo.
That's what Cameron said too. He was like, you're such a fucking weirdo. Like, why do you pay attention to that stuff? I'm like, I don't know. It's just, it's like I do.
It was weird. Deep passion to want to know where you are, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he calls me.
I
want to
know
weirdo.
Where one of my friends are. Just say, hey, where are you at?
I do that, or I check like the location thingy. Way, man. I have like a lot of friends. Well, I mean, we share our locations with my best friends. At least I can always see where they are, but I only check that when I need them, or if I'm looking if they're busy. But anyway,
so what y'all think of the movie?
Uli, what'd you think about the movie, bro? Let's start with you.
I mean, I've seen it several times, and I like it. Kind of different from like many of the other action movies that I've seen. I didn't watch it obviously when it first came out, but when I did, from like the other action movies that I've seen, it's very different in how they're shooting it. Just like the way the camera moves, what they're telling you with those camera movements, with each hit, there's a reaction. So it's very interesting to see that. And also in terms of the narrative, to tell that story of exactly what's going on with the character, what's the situation he's in,
yeah,
and what he's doing to resolve that or to get out of it. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. I think I had seen it before yesterday, I'm pretty sure. I remembered parts here and there of the movie. But overall, like, I thought it was very, very action-packed. And the thing is, like, I have nothing to compare it to. So for me, as of right now, this is like, a blank slate, especially for our podcast, because this is, I think this is like the first action movie of this kind that we are reviewing. And so like, I have nothing to like go back to, but overall, I think the picture was nice. There were flaws with it that I noticed, but at the same time, like I was sitting there in this movie theater and I was enjoying it. And I was getting into like the spy tactics, even though some of the spy tactics are like, excuse me, what?
Yeah, I feel pretty similar. I thought it was a good movie. It's very of its time. And I think it's like, it's interesting, obviously being 2 decades after this movie came out. And then you have like top government agencies and they have like those giant block computers seeing all the old technology and everyone's got a flip phone.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, there were like Lucas said, there were a couple things throughout the movie that like I wasn't that into, but overall the story was good. The action was pretty good. And I thought Matt Damon did a great job.
Yeah.
It was insane in terms of comparing it to like other action movies and spy movies. Something like James Bond, you see typically with those types of spy movies.
Yeah.
They always have these gadgets and everything, and it always does something for whatever the case may be. And in this case, the gadgets, really, you can argue that there aren't really any other than your typical like phones and materials to change your appearance and stuff like that. And
there's like one time in the movie where he had like a tracking device that he put on a vehicle, but mm-hmm. other than that, it like having the whole like spy on the run thing really sets it apart, because he doesn't have access to everything that the government has access to, which in other spy movies would normally be the case.
Right.
Yeah. And I think with that tracker, he gets it from one of the assassins that's from the government. Yeah. So it's like just making use of the resources that he has access to at the time. I was gonna say, if y'all want to comment on this, but like in terms of the action sequences, I don't know if any other action movies that you've seen, or Luca from that Batman movie yesterday, mm-hmm. those action scenes, comparing it to this Bourne movie, noticing how they're really focusing in on whenever they're fighting, you're like right there next to them fighting, and you could see with every punch that they're throwing, you can see where it's landing, their reaction, that kind of narrative happening with the fight sequences. And like that kind of stuff is what sets it apart, I think, from other action movies. And I think since it came out, that there have been other action movies that have been trying to imitate this type of fighting choreography and
cinematography.
There you go. And they haven't done it well, because they just think that it's throwing punches and you're moving the camera all fast and all over the place. But that's not exactly what's happening with the fight sequences here. Because although at the surface layer, that's what it may seem like. But as you notice, as you're watching it, you can see that you do have that quick movement, but it's following the blow that one of the characters is throwing, and then it shows you the reaction time. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Without getting too spoilery, but I had a very different reaction. I definitely can see what you're talking about, but for me, it didn't feel much deeper than that. I feel like the fight scenes, all of the like close-up shots and the quick cuts between, like you have a split second shot of someone throwing a punch and then you cut to another shot of someone getting punched, and I just like, for me, that breaking up the fight like that detracts from it rather than adding, where like as it almost feels like cheating to me, where because like if you had like a wide shot and you have like this beautiful choreography where two people are fighting and they're like punching each other and flying back and like rolling on the ground and all that stuff, like there's more of a performance aspect to it. Whereas with these quick cuts and close-ups, it's almost like you could like just film someone throwing a punch and then cut, and everyone goes and takes a coffee break, and then you come back and then you're like, all right, now I need you to pretend you just got punched and then film that guy, and you just like split it all together and it doesn't really feel as coherent, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. And I think that's, like I said, like with like those other movies that try to imitate it, because of what happened with this movie and like,
yeah,
many of the people are like, they liked it and stuff like that. But that's what ended up happening, and that's how you get that. And like you said, that it does seem like it's like choppy, you know? It's like you just want to see the fight play out instead of it getting chopped off and you're moving from one cut to another cut to another cut, you know, because it throws you off. It's not continuous.
But I do see why that sort of fight choreography became popular, because like you said, it does feel, it's more gritty, and like for a lot of audience members, I can definitely understand how it makes you feel a little like closer to the action, like you're like really in there kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so I understand sort of why that became popular, but
yeah, just... I feel like, sorry to interrupt, I feel like, okay, for that type of like action sequence, it almost, because you said it was gritty and like those open parts in the middle, they kind of allow the viewers to almost like fill in the blanks themselves without like really thinking about it. Do you know what I mean? Like something happens and all of a sudden he's like somewhere else, but like in the vicinity. So in your mind, you're like, oh, he like snuck over this way, right? So I'm just, with that illustration, I'm just saying like, because it's so gritty, every now and then like there are like small gaps in the story that they almost basically ask the viewers to fill in themselves, which I think is pretty cool. But I also agree with everything you guys were saying regarding the shooting, regarding the acting, the cinematography and all that jazz.
But so if you guys had to rate this movie, what would your rating be?
For as many times as I've watched it, I'd probably give it a solid 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah. I personally think that I would probably go a bit lower. Probably I'd go with like a 7.4. I feel like that's a fair rating for me.
Yeah, I was going to say like a 7.5 for me as well.
Mm-hmm. We're all like relatively in the same range area kind of esque.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie. Definitely. Like, if you're like me and have never watched a Bourne movie before, it's worth watching. I would suggest it.
Yeah, I agree. And especially if, like, there's obviously more afterwards. Yeah. So there's a storyline that develops.
Well, maybe next time Uli is in town, we can watch the next one.
Yeah. Or even if he's out of town, you know.
That's true. Uli, next time you want to record, just, you know, let us know.
Let us know, sure, bro. Shout out.
Just to give the audience a little more info here, as well as both of you, the budget for The Bourne Identity was estimated to be around $60 million.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And the movie ended up making about $214 million.
Nice.
That's a pretty good profit right there, if you ask me.
Yeah.
We should probably go into the game. Is it fresh or is it rotten? Guess the percentage of positive reviews of all the reviews of this movie it has gotten.
You're so close right up into the end there.
Dang it.
But we're actually not going to play that game today. We're going to try out a different game. It's going to be a little more challenging, I think.
Oh, so gosh, be prepared.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
And audience, let us know what you think of this new game and how you think it compares. I think for me personally, the reason that I wanted to try out a new game this week was because obviously no matter how many times we explain it, Rotten Tomatoes is kind of confusing with their rating system. And especially when like it comes like right after like we give our rating and then looking at the tomato meter, but because the tomato meter rating is like a completely different system than our own rating system, then it seems a little weird when like our number doesn't match up or does match up, and it's like it's a whole mess. And also like I think with having two people, three people including me, but having two people playing the game, if you're just guessing a number, then it sort of becomes, I guess, easier for the second person, because like whoever guesses first has to like outright guess a number, and then the second person, all they have to do is like go over or under to be closer to the actual number.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
But this week we are going to be playing a game I like to call the Letterboxed Boxing Ring.
Interesting.
And so what I have here is, on the website Letterboxd, there is a description of this movie, and you two are going to try and guess what it says.
Oh, God.
And so this time, I'll give you an example from a different movie. So let's see, what's a movie we've already done?
Tick, Tick, Boom.
Sure.
For that whistling, could you put a towel there, or does that just not do anything?
The sound is happening outside the window, so I'd have to like go outside and do that.
Oh, God.
All right. So the description for Tick, Tick, Boom says, on the cusp of his 30th birthday, a promising young theater composer navigates love, friendship, and the pressure to create something great before time runs out.
Okay.
And I will let both of you know now, the description for The Bourne Identity is a little bit longer than that, but okay. that's sort of the kind of thing we're going for.
All right. So, Mr. Uli, do you want to go first? Do you want me to give it a shot?
Let's see how I do.
All right, let's go.
A strange man wakes up to find out he has amnesia, only to
clear his throat.
Clear his throat and find out that he may be working for the government and is trying to figure out what his current objective was and who he is.
Okay.
All right. Here goes my try. A man was shot twice in the back, waking up without any memory of knowing what had happened. Come to find out, Jason Bourne is a spy, and he's on a mission to figure out what his life's worth was and where and why these people are trying to kill him, while on the way meeting a lover. I think I'm pretty close.
This is a tough one. Okay, so here's what I'm working with. So Uli said amnesia, which is good.
That is good.
But Luca mentioned Jason Bourne as his name, which is also in here.
Let's go.
1 point to Gryffindor.
Both of you talked about people trying to kill him, but Luca said spy, and I don't think Uli did.
Loser.
I say he's an assassin. So
I think I might have to give this one to Luca.
Let's go.
So here's what we got. It says, wounded to the brink of death and suffering from amnesia, Jason Bourne is rescued at sea by a fisherman. With nothing to go on but a Swiss bank account number, he starts to reconstruct his life, but finds that many people he encounters want him dead. However, Bourne realizes that he has the combat and mental skills of a world-class spy. But who does he work for?
I didn't even mention his lover. What the fuck?
Yeah, that was another thing that I like. If it had been, if you hadn't said spy, that might have tipped me over to Uli, because you mentioned something that was completely unrelated to what it says here.
Yeah, I know. Well, I had to be different than Uli. I knew he used amnesia, and I knew that was like a good word to use.
Yeah, it was.
But I couldn't like take it, so I had to do something completely different, you know?
But yeah, but he just said a man, and you specifically said Jason Bourne.
True.
So Luca will get the point for
that.
This
was one. Good. That was fun. That was fun. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, Cayman, even though you had already read the description, I want you to do this yourself. what would your summary be? Your trailer summary?
All right, if I had to make my own summary, I would say, after being found by a fisherman close to death, Jason Bourne wakes up with amnesia and tries to figure out what happened to him and who he is.
Cue in dramatic music.
That's good.
Dude, I feel like I'd not talk so much about the spy stuff, like keep it a bit more mysterious, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Like, why did he wake up in a fishing boat, you know?
Yeah.
But I think I should get extra points also because I mentioned that he was shot twice. That makes it, like, so much more dramatic in the back.
Does it, though?
Yeah, dude. Imagine being shot twice in the back and then waking up without any, like, memories of who you are.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then we will come back for our spoiler review.
Let's do it. We're back. Welcome and prepare yourself.
Hey guys, this is Cayman from the editing room here. In case y'all didn't know, Luca adds the sound effects to the spoiler intro while we're recording, but since Uli was recording in the same room as him, I have the audio of him doing it without those sound effects, so I decided to play a little prank on him.
Hello all, this is the spoiler section. If you don't want to be spoiled, don't listen.
So Uli, what part of the beginning of the movie would you like to start talking about, or would you like me to bring up a great discussion point of what I thought we should kind of go off of?
You could probably discuss as to where he makes it back ashore and fights off those guards, meets his love interest, Marie, and is at that hotel figuring out what's going on.
That's a lot. To break that down almost, I know that this movie has this kind of like feeling around it that he's a spy, so he's doing things that normal people couldn't do and wouldn't understand, and I get that, but like being shot twice in the back and then having seen those bullet holes right when those fishermen picked him up, I just call bullshit on that. I feel like if anyone gets shot in the back right where he was shot, and if you watch the movie, look at the placements of those bullets. They're like square center. Those bullets for sure would have hit organs.
He has plot armor, so
well, he
barely missed.
Because it looked like when the doctor was digging them out that they were pretty surface level. So I'm thinking maybe his wetsuit was like maybe had some armor in it or something.
Maybe, but I guess, see, this is the thing, like this is like spy armor, you know, like it's like stuff we wouldn't understand.
Yeah, it's not like this ain't no cheap man's diving suit. It's exactly. Got like Kevlar in there or something.
Well, it better, because those bullets were not deep at all. And this man,
he just has strong back muscles, you know.
Yeah, he just got a really thick skin.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of this that I have like written down is like explained to be like, well, he's a spy, so he has like, you know, spidey senses almost.
Well,
spidey senses.
Like,
yeah.
So like, I feel like the word spy is in there, right? But like, I feel like there's a strong differentiation between spy and assassin, but who knows, maybe they're just the same thing, two different names, you know? But like, to me, an assassin is it like a bit more hardcore, right? And there's more to it.
Yeah, generally, most spies, although they are trained to fight, are not meant to fight. Assassins are obviously trained specifically to kill people, but spies collect information. That's their entire purpose, is to spy on people.
True.
Yeah.
I feel like he does both, though, because he is, as they said in the movie, the guy that stays invisible. He doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
And spies just don't exist. Assassins, I feel like assassins sometimes do exist because they just fucking kill and they
they're
move
good
on.
Assassins.
Yeah, yeah, say if they're good, what they do is they gather that information, right? As you would have like in terms of the spy stuff, they gather that intel and then use that intel for their work to see, okay, how do they stage the assassination and perform it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like all of the stuff that they're doing as far as like changing your hair color, getting a different outfit, making sure that you don't use the same car more than once, like that's like normal spy stuff. You have to like constantly be changing who you are, which is why obviously he has like 8 different passports and stuff like that.
Right.
But going back to what Lucas said in terms of getting shot and still having those skills and all, bullets were on surface level. He lost his memories, but he still remembers all these fighting tactics.
I guess amnesia can happen for any reason, but it seemed kind of weird to me that like 2 bullets in the back would make him lose his memory.
Well, from that, I would say it's because you have all these nerves, especially around like the spinal cord and everything, and the attachment from that to your brain. I feel like that's how I saw it, but who knows? Luca, did you want to add something?
Yeah, the way I saw it was that he was shot in the back and these were open wounds and he got literally just dumped into the ocean, basically.
Maybe it's like an infection thing.
Yeah, like infection. Some bacteria went up to his brain and just like fucked him up for a bit.
It was more like it was like a like trauma induced amnesia.
No shot, right?
Because you could see in the flashback later when he's like, he goes to kill the person and then he sees all of his kids and all of a sudden he's like, oh, and he's like looking around like I feel like that moment was just so much for him. That when he passed out from getting shot, his brain wanted to cut out that traumatic experience. And so it just like,
there's
stopped.
There's no way. This guy's a fucking cold-blooded killer.
Obviously not cold enough to kill someone in front of 3 kids.
Yeah, true. He's a little bitch.
I seriously can't wait for you guys to watch the rest of the movies.
I would have done it. I would have pulled the trigger right then and there and then killed all the kids too. Damn.
So that's why you drink cold-brewed coffee, dude.
Look. I'm putting myself in Jason Bourne's shoes, right? You go all, through all this effort of, you know, getting yourself in the organization, setting it up, picking the boat, picking the area you're going to go, and then you're literally standing above him with a gun out, and you don't do it because there's a kid there? That just seems weird to me. I don't know. Like, I don't think he even has kids. He has no family. So it's like, why would he even feel that way?
But, yeah, people aren't allowed to have empathy unless they specifically know that situation.
Right. I feel like as a spy, your empathy is just kill the kid too.
Gosh. Sounds about right.
You know, obviously I would never do this, but if I was a cold-blooded assassin and if I didn't complete my job, I would be like killed.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's the whole point is that Jason Bourne is not a cold-blooded assassin. He obviously has feelings. He's a good person.
Yeah, true. Alrighty. I have another point that I kind of wanted to move on to from there was when he finally like got off the boat, was healed up or whatever.
Yeah.
He got onto the train, right? How do you know to get on a train and when to get off this train? How do you know? You don't remember anything. And he just like got off this one station, like started walking around and he's all like this number fucking tattoo on his fucking hip. He was like, yeah, let me go to this fucking bank. I'm like, how do you know?
Well, it had on that little laser thing, it had the name of the bank. So all he has to do is like look up the address.
Yeah.
Like find a phone book or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Speaking of his skills, there's one thing that I, that he did. I listed it in both my positive and my negative category is when he got off the boat and he was walking and there's that shot where he's like, he's walking down the street and then the car drives in front of him and he disappears.
Yeah.
And I put it in my positive category because that wasn't a special effect. Like they did that for real. And it's in my negative category because watching them do it for real made me realize how absolutely ridiculous of a move that is. And like, it's really only effective if someone's chasing you, because you can even see in the shot, like he's walking and walking. And then the second the car passes in front of him, he like ducks down behind it and grabs onto the side of the car so that he just like goes off the screen with the car.
Yeah.
But I'm like, for all the people on the other side of the street, like, could you imagine just seeing someone duck down and grab onto a car as it drives by and how ridiculous that would look?
True. You always have to think about it from the other side. I wrote something down about, you guys remember the scene where he fought the cops?
Yeah.
And they were like, he was sleeping on this bench for the viewers and 2 cops approached him and they were like, sorry, you can't sleep here. And they were talking in German. Du kannst hier nicht schlafen. And then he like woke up, and I think he all of a sudden started talking German again. And then they, I guess, I don't know exactly what happened or how it led to it, but he like basically knocked the shit out of him and like was pointing their guns at him. But then this is the part that I don't get. He was pointing the gun at him, right? And then he threw the gun down and ran away.
Yeah.
Sir, your fingerprints are on the gun, no?
Well, he was freaking out, and he like obviously did not expect, like, that was just like knee-jerk reaction, him beating up these two police officers, and not what he was trying to do, you know?
Yeah, but isn't like a smart thing usually to do if you fuck with the cops to not leave your DNA behind or your fingerprints or evidence?
Well, yeah, but if you're panicking, you don't think about things like that. That's why criminals get caught, is because they don't think about those things.
Criminals need to calm down and think about it a little bit more.
Well, on that, I was gonna say, he's an assassin for like the dark, like the, I guess the dark side of the government, you know? And so,
dark side.
Maybe his fingerprints aren't in their typical database that we would have our fingerprints in. Maybe they're erased, but they do have his intel and information and stuff like that. So obviously they know who he is. They know where he's at, you know? And it was established in the movie. They knew what he was doing. He was passing that information on to them. But it was because of that.
In every other scene, he like wipes everything down for fingerprints. So. Yeah.
I think at that point, it's like how we discussed earlier, like that instinct, that muscle memory, and then like processing afterwards. He didn't realize. It's just instinct. There's someone here that have weapons. You don't know what's going on. You're just waking up, you know?
I mean, that's probably how they figured out, because you remember the whatever CIA or whatever he works for was like, oh yeah, last night he beat up two cops. Is like, how else would they know that? They probably did check the gun for fingerprints, and they were like, oh, that was Bourne.
Exactly. Like, this fucking idiot should have taken the gun. That's all I'm saying. Like, instinct? We're talking about instinct the whole time. Like, he got on the train, instinct. He fought these guys off, instinct. But then he's like, no more instinct when you throw the gun away.
That's just looking up directions.
That's just dumbass luck.
No, it's just like they have the internet. You just be like, oh, I need to get to this bank. How do I get there? Take the train.
Where did he have internet though?
We didn't have to
pop into a fucking library. Have public internet.
Who goes to libraries anymore, bro?
Bruh. This, first of all, this is in 2002.
Yeah.
Oh fuck, true. I went to libraries back then. I'm just saying, like, instinct should have been to take the gun with you. If we're talking about instinct, right? Like, that's just like 101, especially if you find out like you just like fucked up two cops, so you need to protect yourself. No, and people are after
but
you.
But that's not instinct though. Like, they're like, it's taking a gun with you is a conscious decision. We're talking about muscle memory, which is something that you don't like, you're not making a decision. Your body just acts on its own. Like he said,
he's
like
you were
talking about with the rope, you like, oh, I just saw the rope and did it. Like, he didn't make a choice to make the knots.
He's but a killer, like, though, right? The gun is like his tool. It's his life, and he should have taken that shit with him.
I don't know. I think he's misunderstanding what we're talking about.
Yeah, he's looking like deep into exactly like how you said it right now. It's like he's a killer. He should know that I gotta take this gun. You know, this is what I use.
It's his instinct. Look, for guitar people, when they see a guitar, it's like instinct for them to pick it up and play it. It's just, it's like, they don't think like, oh, there's a guitar, like maybe I should go over there and pick. No, they see the guitar and they pick it up and they start playing it because it's like
usually play engraved. Something really annoying and then no one wants to hang out with them anymore.
Or that. Yeah. I mean, same thing though, right? It's instinct for them to like pick it up and be annoying at that point, right? So it always happens. Always. If there's a cat, it's like usually an instinct for me to just go and pet it. I don't like think about it. Like, do I want to go pet this fucking cat right now? Like, is it, do I want to? Like, I don't know.
Well, in terms of instinct and muscle memory, instinct is like how you're saying, like with a guitar player, and then like instinct to, okay, you're going to die, you're going to survive, you know, like that kind of stuff. But mainly what Cayman and I were discussing with this was like muscle memory is that like you go down and tie your shoes, you know, like at this point in time, you know, the type of knot that you're going to do because you've done it for so long. You know, that's with any shoes with the strings and stuff.
I think if we had said instinct before, that was probably the wrong word to use. Because like you said, like picking up a guitar at a party, sure, that you can call that instinct, but like, you're not doing that by muscle memory. Playing the guitar might be muscle memory because you just like, you know how to play those songs and your fingers know what to do without thinking about it. That's muscle memory. But picking up the guitar is like, it's a separate thing.
Yeah, for sure. I get that. One thing about the movie, I thought like the quote unquote intense scenes were great. I thought they were filmed very well. I think the lighting of the cinematography was really good. There was like not a lot of like shake going on. There wasn't too much. I feel like for the scenes where they were on the motorcycle or like the car was getting chased, like the movement through the city and the movement through the cars was just really well done.
The car chase was great.
Yeah.
I need myself a Mini Cooper after that.
True. Just so you can do those moves.
We did get a little bit of a zoom and enhance cliche in one of those scenes before Bourne gets in the car with Marie, and the CIA is like looking at the footage of the alley, and it's like this blurry image of like two people in the car, and he's like, enhance that, and it like zooms in and you can like see the license plate, and I'm like,
yeah.
That was back before that was in every single show and movie ever, and like,
oh, yeah.
That's just not how technology works.
To enhance at that quality, why not just have the camera at that quality?
Facts. I mean, enhancing is a real thing, but not.
Yeah, but it's like, it's just guessing. Like, you're just like, I have four blocks here, and I'm going to split each of these blocks into four more blocks. So then the computer has to, like, guess what those four blocks look like.
Yeah. I'd like to see, like, what a modern spy movie looks like, you know? Like, one in 2022. Because obviously this is an old one, but
I mean, the newest Bourne movie came out, what, like 3 years ago? Not that old.
I have no idea.
2016.
No way.
Yeah.
You serious?
The latest one.
Well, still. It feels more recent than that.
That's a while back. A lot has happened in 6 years, bro.
Yeah.
Like three different presidents.
So back to the fight in Paris. Another thing that I noticed was a little ridiculous was, I don't know if you guys noticed, the sound effects were like literally like cartoon punch noises. it was so ridiculous. Every single hit was like
it's like whack.
That's how it was like back in like those 2000s, whenever like making movies, and like that's like the typical sound effects that you would get when like throwing punches. Yeah. You're like, like punching like bags of rice or something. And like, I mean, now like you can like further enhance that sound quality as to like what you're gonna get out of a punch and stuff like that. But like,
back I think people just like they wanted it to sound more action.
Because
like obviously like it like. If you throw a real punch, like it's just gonna sound like skin hitting skin,
or like a thud, or a thud.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on like where you hit them.
Here, but, let me punch you real quick, really hard, and we'll record it.
But like the whole punches don't make that noise.
No,
punching air. I don't know what's going on, but
I literally wrote here the punching noises though. LMAOOO. And that was the fight scene where that guy like jumps out of the window and kills himself, right?
Yeah, that was wild. I guess he doesn't know that Jason Bourne is like doesn't know what the fuck is going on, and so for him it was probably like, well, I either have to kill myself or he's gonna like take me prisoner and torture me or something like that. But like, Bourne's over here like, bro, I just want to know like why the fuck are you trying to kill me, like what's going on?
Yeah, it's just extremely weird. I don't know. Like, why even kill yourself at that point, right? Like, just fight to your death.
I mean, right? I suppose. I don't know, Brish. I don't know.
Look, if I'm a killer spy again, right? And I am set out to kill someone and he's beating my ass, I'm not just going to go and run out a window and kill myself. I'm going to fight this guy till he kills me. It doesn't make any sense.
But if someone was planning on capturing and torturing you, they wouldn't kill you. Like, you can try and fight them as much as you want. Yeah. They would just restrain you, and then
fair.
You're stuck being tortured.
That's fair, but like, the guy was still good enough to run and jump out a window. Like, you know, I thought he jumped out the window and like landed it, and you know, like how spies do, like jump roll kind of shit.
No, he just flipped right over that railing.
Yeah, he jumped right over the railing and then literally just went splat on the ground.
I think the main thing here is how that framed window just broke so easily, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, an old French window, bro. He just went straight through it.
I'm surprised he didn't just have like a cyanide capsule or something like there as your ways to kill yourself.
Exactly. Like, spies usually would have that, or just fucking like, I don't know. There are better ways to die than like falling off. And plus, that's not a certain death, right? Like,
yeah,
jumping
unless
out of
he
window,
like specifically just, like when you jump, specifically aim so that your head hits first.
Oh god. Yeah, I mean, sure, but when you're in the air, you're like free fall. You have no control, right?
Yeah.
So like, there is high chance of him just like breaking both his legs, a shit ton of bones, and then Bourne coming down and like just. Stepping on him,
he's like,
tell me everything.
Okay,
you know.
So like, now that you
made it easier
legs.
For me,
yeah.
Now that you broke your legs, now let's feel real pain. I don't know, but also at the same time, when they went down the stairs and we saw like that super nice old lady killed, I was so sad.
Yeah, that was wild.
That was so fucked up. I was not a fan. I was upset. She was so nice.
Yeah, killing old ladies, not cool. Killing children, totally fine.
Yeah, if there's no reason for him to kill her downstairs. Like, she wasn't doing no harm.
She was a witness.
It might be a good spy.
You're too tall to be a spy. You can't hide anywhere.
No, exactly. See, I'd be poking out so much that no one would expect me to be a spy. Dude, it's the perfect cover.
You'd be like, oh, let me put on this wig so I look different. And they're like, no, we can still see you.
Exactly. I mean, I'd be like the dumbest thing to suspect to be a spy, right? Because I am so tall and just big. But you know, that's maybe sometimes the ones that are out in just the open are the ones you least expect.
Yeah, until you do something, and then you literally can't disguise yourself after that because they know what you look like.
Fair, fair. Alrighty, well, I'm gonna jump real quick to kind of like the endish of the movie, where they were like, "Oh, we gotta wipe our office now," and he was like, "How long do you think it'll take to wipe an office?" And she was like, "Oh, like 2 to 3 hours," and I was like, "Bitch, wipe a whole office in 2 to 3 hours with two people?"
Office.
Say what?
I said it was a small office.
Okay, but like, to completely wipe it as if no one lived there. And they showed the shot from the inside and he was like shredding paper one by one. And I'm like, there's no way he's going to finish it in 2 fucking hours. Yeah,
he was shredding too slow. But I think like, by wipe the office, I don't think they meant like it has to be completely clean. There just has to be like no evidence there.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, like, shredding those papers that slow wasn't going to work out.
No, yeah. But like, if you were like, all right, let's completely delete everything on this computer and shred all this paper. Like, I could see doing all that in 3 hours. You just like, you wouldn't have time to like pack up the computer and all that.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was like, wipe the office as in like, take all your equipment out, like remove whatever you have in there. I don't know. It was just a hard reach for me.
I felt a little weird earlier in the movie going back again is... Mm-hmm. I don't know, his relationship with Marie was a
cringe.
Little weird for me. Yeah, I feel like first, like, obviously he like gets her into all this trouble, and then when they get to Paris, he's like, okay, listen, this is gonna be dangerous, so like, you should leave, just like go to the police and you'll be safe. And she's like, no, I don't want to go to the police, I want to stay with you, and like buckles her seatbelt and stuff. And then later on in the movie, she finds out that he's like killed people, and then she's like, no, stay away from me. And I'm like, right. So you didn't think that he had killed people before after you watched him beat a bunch of people up? Like, what?
Ma'am,
and like,
he's paying you $10,000 to drive.
He literally
like
almost
hours.
Killed someone in that apartment earlier. Like,
right.
And then like, now all of a sudden she wants to run away and he has to like convince her. And then later at the frickin' at her brother's house or whatever, then again, he is like, all right, this is your chance. You guys need to leave and it'll be safe. And she's like, but wait. And I'm like, girl, you need to make up your mind. Like, either leave or don't leave.
Yeah. Totally agree. 100%.
And the sex scene was a little bit, obviously, it wasn't like that intense of a sex scene. They just like made out and then it cut to the next morning. But I don't know. That felt a little strange to me. I get like, on the one hand, it's like, emotions mix sometimes. So I get if you're like, if you're in a high stress situation, sometimes all of that stress can turn into a lot of horniness.
Oh. Are you talking from experience or what's going on here? I've never had that.
Well, you obviously haven't been in a stressful enough situation.
Nope. I'm super stressed as fuck. Like, what?
But that's what I'm saying is like, on the other hand, it's like, obviously you guys are literally running for your life and like literally just had to dye and cut your hair. I'm like, is this really the time to be doing this?
True. And by the way, her haircut was really good for just being cut with some sheer scissors.
Yeah, you could definitely tell like in the scenes where he was cutting the hair, you were like, that's going to be a bad haircut. Right. It cuts to the next scene and you're like, okay, no, someone like a professional went back and finished that up because that 100%. Was not the haircut that he was giving her.
Yeah. I wish they would have like left it as like a super jank dog shit haircut. That would have been perfect. I mean, why? Why give her like a beautiful, like long bangs in the front and like a nice little bowl cut in the back or whatever bob cut? I meant, just leave it like a shit haircut. That's how spies roll.
No, that's why that's one of the skills they don't talk about as much. But actually, part of spy school is you have to become a professional barber.
Right. I was going to say
you got to get that GTA barber skill where you can like take someone like with a short haircut, hair. Yeah, and you cut the hair and then it's longer.
Hell yeah, yeah. The GTA hairstyle. You know, I'm sure in that 30 million of training, that's one part of it. But let's see here. Since you cut to the back, I'm going to cut to the endish again, where he, what was he doing again? He was up 12 floors, but then he like.
Oh, and he used that thick guy to jump down like 10 stories.
Yeah, he literally jumped down the middle of a stairwell, which is maybe like 6 feet or maybe 6 feet by 6 feet or 8 feet by 8 feet, a hole. And he just like jumps off using this guy as like a shield while falling, kills a guy that's coming up, and then lands on top of this guy and like gets up and runs away. Like, what?
Physics doesn't apply here, man.
I know. As long as you have a big guy underneath you, he's pretty much like a cushion. There's not anything hard in there, like bones or cartilage. Like,
right. I saw that. I was like, bro, you could have done it in like so many better ways than like taking this dude jumping. It just makes sense.
Also, there's like almost no way that he would just fall straight down like
exactly
that. Like he would either move a little to one side and like hit one of the stairs, or like you'd both start like spinning in the air.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it took you forward momentum to jump down, right?
Right.
So that forward momentum keeps carrying, and you will end up hitting one of these fucking railings and dying.
Speaking of, because when he kicked the guy's head through the railing, and then the other guy at the bottom of the stairwell started shooting up, and it was like shooting the railing like right by the dead guy, and I'm like, it was so surprising to me that he didn't like accidentally shred that guy's face open with the machine gun.
True. Gosh. That's another thing. This movie did not have a lot of blood at all.
No, it was very, very tame.
Yeah. Like, if you're shoving someone's head through a railing, like, there's bound to be blood. Like, I'd like to see Uli using my face as, like, a method of breaking this railing next to us. Like, there's no way my head's going to be in one piece.
There was a little, I think the most blood is probably, like, when the first assassin jumps out the window and then they, like, walk down and you can see the pool of blood under him in the street.
Oh, could you? I didn't really look that closely at that guy. I was just still amazed that he just killed himself.
Yeah, and then at the end, there's like a little bit of blood on Bourne's forehead. And then that's about it.
Oh my God, that's so much.
I think with these types of movies, it's more story driven with like the fighting sequences and stuff like that. So it's not going to be as...
I mean, it's PG-13, so...
Yeah.
That's probably why, yeah.
One more pool of blood and it's rated R.
Yeah, right? You can only have 3 liters of blood in the whole movie. which actually is a lot of blood, but yeah.
Towards the end, like there in that fighting sequence you were discussing at the stairs, I mean, just right before that, that's when you get the whole spiel as to who he is, what he's been doing, and the Treadstone Project, you know, that's where you learn that stuff. And the ward is the old guy that's going to Alexander at one point in the movie and asking him about the Treadstone Project and how it's going. And with that stray Jason Bourne, like what's happening, you know, things getting out of control. And you find out towards the end of the movie, he ends up killing Alexander or having him killed.
Yeah, and I just like, I don't know if I buy all that. Like, obviously, I know that the CIA does some shady stuff, but the idea that like, oh, we're going to get in trouble for spending so much money on this project, so I'm going to have the leader of the project murdered. Like, right. I don't think the CIA rolls like that.
No. Yeah, that guy got fucked up out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think, because, well...
like, could you imagine if every time someone, like, every time someone spent a little too much money or like failed a mission, they were like, oh, we'll kill you and find someone else. Like, bro, no one would work for the CIA.
Right. Easy replacements.
It's so shady stuff, man. Those black ops, you know, that type of ordeal.
Dumb.
Let me see here. Do I have any more notes I would like to talk about? At the end, I put, why'd they shut everything down?
Well, yeah, exactly. It's like at the end, you're left wondering, because they shut everything down, that's like what's gonna happen with Bourne. He's good, he's free. Like, what else is going on? What are the intentions, you know? Because right. what about all those other people that were part of that project? Because Bourne wasn't the only one, as you saw with that fight in the field with that other assassin, which they call the professor.
Yeah,
and yeah,
speaking of the professor, this was something that, like, it's not super important, but it did kind of catch my eye. It's like, for some reason, like, normally with a suppressor, you would like attach it on the end of the barrel, but with
he like shoved it all the way through, yeah, the barrel.
Like his suppressor, he just like would slide it on and off of his barrel, and I'm like, that's not how suppressors work.
Look, it's a spy suppressor, Cayman, you're asking again too much.
It was a homemade suppressor, man. You know, like, even though he made it, it's better than all the other ones that are.
Yeah, yeah. whenever he would slide it on, it would actually slide the barrel of the gun back into the frame.
Nope.
And
reverse mechanics here.
Exactly. It's not like you don't screw it on. You push the barrel back into the housing.
I think they just don't know how suppressors work.
Which is kind of weird for what, $60 million?
Maybe they just thought it looked cool and expensive. No one knows enough about sniper rifles.
There's no way.
Imagine if he just did the wrong motion for the suppressor. It's like, fuck, that was our last shot. We have to move forward.
Yeah, they got to roll with it.
Yeah.
This is also like, I mean, this happens with literally every movie ever. So it's not even like unique to this film, but also suppressors are not silencers. Like, real silencers don't exist. That's why, like, in actual firearm terminology, like, nobody calls it a silencer, because it's not gonna be silent. It's a suppressor.
Yeah,
everyone like within a block or two is still gonna be able to hear that. It's just like, instead of being like bang, it's like bang.
Yeah. So true. Very true. There were like a very flawed mechanics in this movie, but I mean, overall,
yeah, that happens in John Wick,
movie.
Even. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's typical, like, movie magic.
Pew pew.
That's true, yeah. But I mean, overall, I feel like it still made sense. There was nothing that was like a sore thumb that stood out to me.
Yeah,
that would like ruin the movie. You know, yeah. That's why I gave it a 7.4.
And like, I have one more note here that I. It's not going to be that important to either of you, I think, but I was very surprised to see my man Walton Goggins as just like a random background tech in this movie. He's been in a lot more stuff recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was watching this and I was like, wait a second. Is that him? And I looked up and I was like, oh shit.
Like, dude, it was short hair, man. So
I guess he wasn't as famous back then, because he literally doesn't even have a name in this movie. He's just research tech.
Damn, get rolled, kid. But Cayman, we were just talking about, I brought up ratings again. What is the tomato score for this one?
All right, so we did not play our game, but I can still let you guys know. Give me just a second here.
Yeah, I was like, I rated a 7.4. I want to know how close I was. You said 7.5, and then Uli said
Well, but 8. but that, again, that's why, another reason why I didn't, I changed up the game is because, like, our rating is, of course, not going to match because our rating is based on what we think about the quality of the film. But the Rotten Tomato meter is not about quality. It's just about how many people liked it versus how many people didn't.
True. Yeah, that's why, like, sometimes I had to, like, skew my score because I was like, well, it's not about quality. It's about people's and how they felt just watching it.
But the tomato meter for The Bourne Identity is 84%.
Damn.
That's
a little higher than I thought it would be, but it's okay.
That's 84 feels right.
I mean, maybe. Do you guys have any last notes on this movie for us?
I do not have any more
notes. I'm all out.
Done here.
I think I will say one last thing is this movie, obviously, like, this happens with a lot of initial movies in a series where, like, I feel like the way this movie ends, it could have stopped there, and you're just like, yeah, like, Jason Bourne lives happily ever after in fucking Greece or wherever he is, and the CIA moves on with their next mission, and it's just like, ta-da, all done. But obviously it became so successful with its freaking over $200 million, and they were like, man, we're gonna make more. And so I'd be interested to see whenever, if we ever do get around to talking about the next one, how they force him back into the game.
True, yeah, because I don't even remember.
Yeah. I don't even know if I saw this. I think originally these came out as books.
Oh, did they?
The first one, there is a book called The Bourne Identity, but this movie is, like, very loosely based on it.
Yeah.
But, like, all of the specifics are different, and all of the other Bourne movies after this one are original screenplays. They're not based on anything.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Sweet.
Alrighty, well, I think it's a good point to move on to trivia.
I got three normal trivia facts, and I did, in fact, find one trash fact for us this week.
Oh, it's sick. I love the trash facts. those really excite me. I'm glad we came up with those.
So our first piece of trivia here is that Matt Damon climbed down the last 30 feet of the building himself without a stunt double when he is escaping the embassy. At the time, he called it the most grueling thing that he had to do.
Damn. Without, like, a harness or anything like that?
I guess not, right? It just says by himself, but I'm sure they had some sort of safety measures.
Damn, that's awesome. I would do it.
The name Bourne came from a person named Ansel Bourne, who was a preacher in Rhode Island and was the first documented case of dissociative fugue. One day in 1887, he forgot who he was, started a new life in Pennsylvania under the name Brown, and opened a convenience store. About 3 months later, he woke up and not only remembered his life as Bourne, but forgot all of his life as Brown.
No fucking way.
And was very confused why he was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I've, like, heard and, like, read about that and, like, even watched, like, something like that in which you forget everything previously. And so you're, like, you're living a new life. But then through either stress or whatever it may be that causes whatever memories or other functions of your brain to start coming back from how it was previously, that can totally happen. That's gnarly, dude.
Guys, if I ever forget who I am, please tell me.
We could tell you all you want, but if you forget and you don't know, you're still going to be creeped out.
Look, you guys just need to start documenting my life so I can read about it. Easy.
Well, I mean, that's actually crazy, though. For.
True. That's crazy. What?
Yeah. He just became a completely different person for 3 months.
Gosh, and then, like, what happened after those 3 months? Did he go back to being born?
Yeah.
And close his convenience store or what?
Well, he didn't even know he had a convenience store. He forgot when he remembered his entire life, he forgot those 3 months.
Okay, wait. How is this documented?
I'm sure there are documents of it, and, like, people would recognize him and be like, hey, yeah. Mr. Brown. And he's like, who the fuck is that?
That's fucking crazy. Wow. I couldn't imagine. That's really cool. Okay. I'm glad they brought him up in the movie. That's a good tribute.
The red bag that Bourne uses in the consulate is now owned by Adam Savage of the Mythbusters. Nice. And contains all of the props that Jason pours onto the desk in Paris.
Oh yeah, he's a big like prop collector, because I know he also used to work on props and stuff like that for like Star Wars and like other movies.
Yeah, Adam Savage used to work for ILM, which is Industrial Light and Magic, and they do a lot of special effects and prop work for big movies. But yeah, he's really into collecting props. He has like original outfits and like handmade replicas. He makes a lot of stuff himself as well. But yeah,
wow,
not
that's
surprising
really cool.
at all that he has that bag.
I wonder how much he paid for it then.
It was a gift.
No shot.
Oh, it could be. He's well known probably, in the business. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's why the rich always become richer.
All right, you ready for our trash fact?
Yeah, I'm ready, dude. I'm ready. Strap myself in.
The birth dates on the passports are details for cover identities and don't list his actual birthday.
What? No way.
Oh, God, that's so bad.
Well, because, I mean, why would they give you his birthday, you know?
Exactly.
It's not like I wanted to give him a cake.
They also didn't list his real name, so.
Yeah. Imagine if you had, like, five different cover identities and they all had the same birthday.
The same birthday and, like, the same name.
Ridiculous.
Wow. Good stuff, whoever put that out there, dumbass.
They're like, oh my gosh, so many people are going to be surprised by this. Like, they don't even know.
Yeah. This is the fact that everyone needs to know.
So yeah, if you are listening, let us know what you thought about the Bourne identity.
Oh yeah.
Would love to hear some more opinions, positive or negative.
Mm-hmm. Tweet at us, use our emails, all that jazz. Let us know what you also thought about the new game. I enjoyed it quite a lot. Came out, I didn't know this was going to happen, and obviously Uli didn't either, but I think we enjoyed making up our own little synopsis of the film, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
That was good.
So if you would like to share your opinion on the movie or the game or anything really, you can send an email to casualfanaticpod@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter @cashfanpod.
That's it. Yo, Uli, I want to thank you again one more time. Thank you so much for requesting this film and then coming down and, you know, recording. You literally came to Denver just to record this episode. So I really thank you for coming down and recording with us. I hope you had a blast, and I know we did too.
Thank you.
Sweet, man. Pleasure being here.
Really, is there anything you'd like to plug if people want to see what you're up to? You got like a Twitter, a Twitch or something where people can find out more about you and your life?
I have nothing, you know, but like promoting you guys, that's where it's at, you know. Give these guys a follow, comment on anything, even the window, you know, or if you have any movie suggestions or anything, you know, that'd be great.
Well, I appreciate that plug, Uli. I really do.
All right. Well, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.